This is Crawford Media's Radiography, a glimpse into the lives and ministries of our greatest Christian leaders. On this show, we search for love worth finding with Adrian Rogers.
It seems hard to believe, but in his early years, few people thought Adrian Rogers would succeed at anything, let alone being a preacher.
I was a teen sleeping in the back bedroom or taking a nap. My dad was out on the patio with a man named Bert. He was the sheriff of that county, and I respected him so much. Bert said to my dad, "What's Adrian going to do when he gets out of high school?" My dad says he thinks he wants to be a preacher. Bert said, "That boy will never be a preacher." "That boy will never make it." He didn't know I heard that, but I was sitting there listening. There are plenty of people who say that it can't be done, but I'm telling you, if God gives you a dream, it can be done.
At the time of his death, Adrian Rogers had been a three-time president of the Southern Baptist Convention and was considered one of the greatest leaders of the Southern Baptist denomination. He was referred to by some as the Prince of Preachers. His preaching was bold, often called bare-knuckled for its uncompromising revelation of the true Word of God. In his lifetime, he had published 18 books, and his ministry was known in over 150 countries via his radio and television broadcasts of Love Worth Finding. Once called the meanest boy in school, Adrian Rogers often bullied other students at Northborough Junior High School into fistfights. He skipped school, cheated off of other students' test papers, lied, and swore a blue streak. But at the age of 14, a radical transformation changed Adrian Rogers for the rest of his life.
Adrian Pierce Rogers was born September 12, 1931, into the hardworking middle-class family of Arden and Rose Rogers in West Palm Beach, Florida. He was the third child in a family of four children. Neither parent had any formal education, but they had innate talents which they used to create a comfortable and stable, although not a wealthy, life for their family. His father was a well-dressed and charming man who rose to the top of whatever task he undertook, and his mother was an avid reader and a quick wit. Dr. Rogers credits his parents with instilling in him the characteristics that would later serve him well in the ministry. But although his mother was a Christian, they were a family without Christ. They did not attend church. There was no reading of the Bible, no prayer. It was by an invitation from a neighbor that young Adrian attended Northwood Church for a crusade led by evangelist Fred Brown. It was there, during an altar call, that Adrian saw his father step forward and give his life to Christ. It had an immediate and profound effect on Dr. Rogers. Filled with the Holy Spirit, the young man stepped forward and professed his faith in Jesus and became, as he put it, a new creature in Christ. But for over 2 years following his conversion, Adrian struggled with his faith. He lacked guidance and discipleship and floundered until one night, on his way home from church, he stopped at the corner of 39th Street and Calvin in West Palm Beach. He prayed for and received full affirmation of his relationship with Christ.
Although he was a very bright child, Dr. Rogers never considered himself to be a good student. He was interested in sports, but he didn't study. In fact, he never brought a book home, nor did any homework. Even his call to ministry in his junior year of high school did not spark a greater interest in academic study. Adrian was a stellar athlete. He was captain of his school's championship football team and was named to the All-Southern team and went on to receive a football scholarship from Stetson University in DeLand, Florida. In later years, he would be inducted into the National Amateur Football Hall of Fame. But during this time, Dr. Rogers was going through a series of stages.
When I was a kid, I said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And then after a while, I got a little germ in my heart. "Lord, I think you want me to preach." And then, "Lord," it was, "Lord, do you want me to preach?" And then after a while, it was, "Lord, I think you want me to preach." Then after a while, it was, "Lord, if you don't want me to preach, you better let me know." And then finally, "Lord, I know this is what you want."
While he was attending a retreat at Ridge Creek Baptist Assembly in North Carolina, Adrian declared his calling to preach the Word of God at a commitment service and gave his life to God and ministry. Towards the end of his junior year in high school, an intervention with the Dean of Students, Carl Price, changed his attitude about becoming a better student. Dr. Rogers shared with Price his calling to the ministry. Price asked Adrian if he thought he could be a minister with a lack of study habits. Dr. Rogers felt the truth of that question and was convicted on the spot and started his commitment to achieving academic excellence. By the time he graduated, Adrian was elected president of the senior class, became captain of the championship football team, was leader of his youth group at Northwood Baptist Church, and was chosen to be leader of a boys' missionary group, Royal Ambassadors. With both a football and ministry scholarship, Adrian was able to attend Stetson College. But Dr. Rogers became disillusioned with the school and what he thought to be Stetson's liberal, neo-orthodox theology. They taught that the devil didn't exist, that the Red Sea was not parted, but that Moses merely waded across at low tide. The inerrancy of the Bible and the miracle found within it were discounted. It caused Adrian much grief, and so he sought the truth for himself. He also found opportunities to preach, sometimes on street corners, other times on bus benches. On one occasion, he befriended a successful Christian businessman who encouraged Adrian in ministry. That led to Adrian being recommended to pastor at the man's Merritt Island, Florida church, where they were without leadership. Dr. Rogers considered that ministry to be not only wonderful, but fruitful.
Dr. Rogers met his one and only true love in the fourth grade. They started as just friends, but over the years their faith in God and affection for each other grew, and by high school, they knew they were truly in love. After their first year of college, young Adrian married his childhood sweetheart, Joyce Gentry. Adrian proposed to Joyce on Christmas Eve in their freshman year and were married on September 2nd, 1951. Here, Joyce reminisces with James Dobson on Family Talk.
I've known him since we've been children. When we were in the sixth grade, he dropped love notes by my desk that I still have.
You were married when you were 18.
Right. I can't believe that now either. Became a pastor's wife when I was 18. Actually became a pastor's wife when we were still in college, and he had a little country church, and never forget that wonderful little church, and I loved being a pastor's wife, loved being his wife.
Just a few months before they were married, and while still a freshman in college, Adrian became the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Fellsmere in Florida, a town of about 500 people. Dr. Rogers relinquished his football scholarship to focus on his marriage and his church. It was a fruitful time for both his ministry and his small but growing family.
In their junior year of college, the Rogers were ready to start a family. On the way to the birth of their first child, Joyce suffered two heartbreaking miscarriages and almost miscarried a third time. But on February 26th of 1954, the Rogers welcomed their first child, their son Stephen, into the world. Then Gail came along 2.5 years later on June 15, 1956, while Adrian, Joyce, and Stephen were living in New Orleans. After graduating from seminary, Adrian took on the senior pastor position at Parkview Baptist Church, and the Rogers family moved to Fort Pierce, Florida. But tragedy struck the Rogers family shortly after they arrived at the first church he pastored out of seminary.
Joyce and I lost a little boy. A little boy died on Mother's Day, on those crib desks. I just preached on the glories of a Christian home.
The news of Philip's death spread like wildfire through the small congregation. Soon parishioners began to flood the Rogers home to express their love and condolences to the family.
We left that Sunday afternoon to go from Fort Pierce to West Palm Beach, about 60 miles, to be with family. They called somebody else in to pastor the little church. Our pastorium was as close to the church as I am almost to Mark over here. Just a little white frame house. And the church members had come by. We'd not been in that church but just several weeks. And as Joyce and I backed out our automobile, I could see the yellow light as it was streaming out of the open windows. And the congregation was singing, "No, never alone. No, never alone. He hath promised never to leave me. Never to leave me alone.
Never to leave me alone. No, never alone.
As Joyce Rogers recalls in her book, Love Worth Finding, the life of Adrian Rogers and his philosophy of preaching, that although the death of their little boy was devastating, it was not defeating. They found comfort in Scripture, especially 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God. She and Adrian were determined to be good stewards of their sorrow and share the comfort they received from the Lord to comfort others with the presence of the living Christ within them.
You're listening to a Crawford Media Group radiography, The Life of Adrian Rogers and the Love Worth Finding Ministry. We will return shortly. We return now to Crawford Media Group's radiography, The Life of Adrian Rogers and the Love Worth Finding Ministry.
Adrian Rogers is well known for his zealous evangelical spirit and dedication to the incorruptible Word of God. He's considered by most to be one of the greatest Christian leaders of our time. Ordained to gospel ministry in his freshman year, he took on his first senior pastor job in a small Baptist church in Fellsmere, Florida. The church was rustic, with a concrete floor and cement block walls and no ceiling, just rough lumber rafters from which hung bare light bulbs. There was no running water, so there were no water fountains, no baptistry, not even a lavatory. But Adrian and Joyce considered it to be a beautiful place because it was a place of great revival spirit. Under Dr. Rogers' leadership, the church doubled in 1 year, with 51 baptisms that first year. Adrian remained the pastor of Fellsmere until he graduated from Stetson University. After prayerful consideration, Adrian chose New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisiana to continue his education, but also because he saw it as an area in need of preachers and the gospel. After 6 months of going to school and working for a pest control business to make the bills, Adrian was offered an opportunity to preach at Waveland Baptist Chapel in Mississippi, just about 60 miles from the seminary. Dr. Rogers preached, and that very night, he was asked to pastor the small 25-member church, and he accepted. The Rogers family moved to Waveland, and Adrian made the commute to the seminary in New Orleans every day and preached in Waveland, Mississippi, each weekend. The church grew under Adrian's leadership. The members went from 25 to 75, and a new educational building and nursery were built.
In 1958, Dr. Rogers graduated from the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary with a Bachelor of Divinity degree, which was later reissued as a Master of Theology. As he was getting ready to graduate, he received simultaneously letters from two small Florida churches that insisted that it was God's will for Adrian to pastor their churches. After much prayer, Adrian declined both offers, but the Fort Pierce Church asked Dr. Rogers to reconsider. So again, the Rogers prayed and felt led by the Holy Spirit to accept the offer from Parkview Baptist Church, even though it came with many challenges. But before he had officially accepted their offer, a committee from a more affluent church called Adrian to discuss bringing him on as senior pastor. It was a great opportunity, but again, he felt the Holy Spirit guiding him to the other church, and so Adrian declined. And so the Rogers bid farewell to their Waveland church and their much-loved friends, and began anew at Parkview Baptist Church. Under Pastor Rogers' leadership, Parkview Church grew more than six times its original number in just 6 years. Attendance at the Sunday school went from 100 to 650. It was during this time at Parkview Baptist Church that Pastor Rogers began an early morning radio broadcast called Daybreak, his first foray into broadcasting. Life was busy but fulfilling. It was a bittersweet goodbye then when the Rogers family felt the call to First Baptist Church of Merritt Island in Florida. Merritt Island is contiguous to the Kennedy Space Center, and quite a few of the people who helped land the first man on the moon were members of the church. The church adopted Pointing Men Beyond the Stars as its motto. It was a booming area, drawing many young families, and the church was flourishing. Sunday school attendance went from 300 to 2,000 in a very short time. Pastor Rogers got to work on expanding the church and its staff to accommodate its dramatic growth. It was their Days of Camelot time, and Adrian had once said that he expected to go to heaven from Merritt Island. But that was not to be.
Historic Bellevue Baptist Church of Memphis, Tennessee, was in need of a pastor. The committee, in charge of finding a new pastor, heard the name Adrian Rogers from several individuals. The committee attended the Southern Baptist Pastors Conference to listen to several preachers, including Adrian, who was a featured pastor. Adrian was not aware of their presence, but his message, the making of a man of God, could not have been more apropos. It was while Adrian, Joyce, and their three youngest children were vacationing that the call came from Bellevue. Steve, the oldest Rogers child, relayed the message to his father that a return call was urgently requested. He used the phone booth at the Lynchburg, Virginia campgrounds to call the committee member, who told him that several members wished to fly to where he was to discuss Adrian taking leadership of Bellevue. Dr. Rogers politely declined, seeing he had absolutely no intention of leaving his current pastorate. But the member was insistent that Adrian should at least talk to him before making his final decision. Adrian acquiesced, but said he would drive to Memphis instead, a very long drive. And although Pastor Rogers really only made the trip to be courteous, he and Joyce spent several days talking and praying with the committee members, and they could feel God moving in their lives. He was invited to preach at Bellevue, and he agreed to, even though he knew he was not going to accept their offer. But after a service that can only be described as filled with the Holy Spirit, the committee made an offer, and Adrian found himself accepting. And so Adrian Rogers became the senior pastor at Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, where he remained until his retirement, after which he was named pastor emeritus. Under his leadership, Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee blossomed from an already impressive 9,000 members to over 29,000 at the time of his 2005 retirement. In 1989, the church moved from Memphis to a new megachurch facility in suburban Cordova, Tennessee.
In his time, Dr. Rogers prayed with and was a personal consultant to five American presidents, and in 2003 shared the platform with President George W. Bush in the White House on the National Day of Prayer for America. Here, Dr. James Dobson of Family Talk speaks with Joyce Rogers about how that came to be.
I was thinking where I really became aware of Adrian. I had known him, I had met him, but my wife Shirley is chairman of the National Day of Prayer, and it was very early in her 21-year term, and she invited a very famous minister to come and be the keynote speaker for the National Day of Prayer in the Cannon House office building in Washington, D.C., and he wouldn't give her an answer, but let her think he was coming. And at the very last minute, I mean, right at the time that the event was going to occur, he turned her down. He called and said, "I can't come." And Shirley didn't know Adrian very well, but she called him and said, "Dr. Rogers, I've got a real problem here. I need a keynote speaker. Would you be willing to do this?" And he packed up and came. And he was our buddy from that time on because he showed that he had such a heart for ministry. And I depended on him so much. He had such wisdom and such a commitment to the Lord.
And here is an excerpt from that prayer.
We bow our heads in humble adoration and praise. We thank you, our great God, for this joy, this privilege to be here with friends, brothers and sisters and fellow Americans. Lord, to announce our dependence upon you. Dear God, let your peace rest upon this house we call the White House. And Father, again, we pray with thanksgiving that you will bless America. In your holy name, amen.
In 1987, the Love Worth Finding Ministry was born, and to this day is the exclusive provider of Adrian Rogers' comprehensive teachings from radio, television, and the internet. Its reach is so great that it is said that the sun never sets on this ministry. By the time he retired as pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church in 2005, the Love Worth Finding Ministry was being broadcast on more than 14,000 television stations in over 150 countries and could be heard on nearly 2,000 radio stations and translators. And in honor of his achievements, Dr. Rogers was inducted into the prestigious National Religious Broadcasters Hall of Fame in 2003. Now, thanks to the World Wide Web and the Love Worth Finding website, lwf.org, Dr. Rogers' unerring messages continue to be heard worldwide.
Welcome to Love Worth Finding with pastor, teacher, and author Adrian Rogers. Reaching out with God's love, bringing people to Christ, touching lives around the world, and helping you find the answers you need today. Join us as we prepare to open God's Word and discover how your life can be changed forever by His great love worth finding.
Be finding, please, Romans chapter 11.
You're listening to a Crawford Media Group radiography, the life of Adrian Rogers and the Love Worth Finding Ministry. We will return shortly. We return now to Crawford Media Group's radiography, the life of Adrian Rogers and the Love Worth Finding Ministry.
After 53 years in ministry, Dr. Rogers made the difficult decision to retire. And on the weekend of March 4th, 2005, thousands of members of Bellevue Baptist Church bid a fond, emotional farewell to their beloved pastor, Adrian Rogers, who had served them well for over 32 years. Rogers led by example.
The greatest joy that I have is serving the Lord. What a privilege to serve the Lord. Sometimes I wish I could serve Him better.
Dr. Rogers also had a wonderful sense of humor.
I always enjoy music. I love music, and I have a little bit more taste and ability in music that sometimes I let on. What some of you don't know, I can kind of sit at the piano and play by ear. I won't do that in service, but I love music. I have difficulty getting it out. I can carry a tune, I just can't unload it.
And he clarified scripture with deeply engaging parables.
John closes the book of the Revelation, Revelation 21, verse 27, talking about heaven. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. A man dreamed that he died, and he came to the portals of heaven, and he knocked on that pearly gate, just a dream. And a voice within said, "Who is it that seeks entrance into heaven? What is the password?" And the man said, "I'm a moral man." "Well, what is the password into heaven?" "Honesty." And the voice within said, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." Another knocked at the portals of heaven. The voice within said, "Who is it that seeks entrance into heaven? And what is the password?" This man said, "I am a humanitarian. What is the password to heaven?" He said, "Love, charity, good deeds." The voice within said, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." Another knocked. "Who is it that seeks entrance into heaven? And what is the password?" "I am a religious man." "What is the password?" "Religion, baptism, church attendance." The voice within said, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." Finally, a fourth man knocked at heaven's portals. "This is all just a dream." The voice within said, "Who is it that seeks entrance into heaven? And what is the password?" And the man on the outside said, "I'm a Christian. I've given my heart to Christ. I've been born again. In my hand, no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling." And the voice within said, "Open wide the gates and let him in."
In November of 2005, Adrian Rogers was undergoing treatment for colon cancer. The treatment caused blood clots to form in his lungs, and he contracted pneumonia and was placed on a respirator. Here, Joyce Rogers talks with James Dobson on Family Talk about Dr. Rogers' final days.
He retired, and then you discovered that he had cancer.
Right. He had, a couple of years before then, had a minor heart attack, and he had a genetic heart arrhythmia problem, and his daddy had had the same thing, and he had recovered and lived to be 92. And I think Adrian had recovered from that, but then right after he retired, he found out that he had colon cancer. And we never dreamed that he would die. And even when he went into the hospital with pneumonia, I knew God was able to heal him. I didn't hide my head in the sand about it, but God didn't choose to do that. God took him.
Only 8 months after his retirement, on November 15th, 2005, at the age of 74, Pastor Rogers was called home to be with the Lord. Shortly before his passing, Dr. Rogers made his last recorded message.
"There's never been a greater day to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to stop whining and moaning and complaining, going around with our head between our knees singing, 'Hold the fort.' We need to lift up our heads, sound the trumpet, unsheathe the sword, and say, 'Onward, Christian soldiers.' My friend, I want you to meditate on this verse, the three great truths that I want to rip it into your heart. His unlimited power, His unchanging program, and His unfailing promise. He will not fail you. You want a thrill? You want something that counts? You let Congress make the laws. You let Wall Street handle the finance. Let Hollywood have the fame. You become a winner of souls. He that wins souls is wise. God bless you."
Pastor Rogers also left a letter to be used after his passing, making it clear that he wanted the work of the Love Worth Finding ministry to carry on. In it he said, quote, that while the messenger is gone, the message must continue. Today there are still millions of people who do not know our dear Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and who are in desperate need of His redeeming grace. And so Love Worth Finding continues, as they say, taking the gospel to the world until Jesus comes. Love Worth Finding can be heard on thousands of radio stations. Videos of his sermons and ministry teaching can be found on YouTube, and most of his works, including his books and pamphlets, can be easily accessed at lwf.org.
This has been a Crawford Media Group radiography, a glimpse into the lives and ministries of today's Christian leaders. Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to the Love Worth Finding Ministry Archives, Joyce Rogers and Broadman Holman Publishing, Dr. James Dobson and Family Talk, C-SPAN Archives, and First Com Music. This radiography was written, voiced, and produced by Gail Conroy, with additional narration by Tim Segris. Radiography is a Crawford Media Group God and Country production. Copyright 2020 and may not be reproduced without written consent. More radiography features will be available soon. Check crawfordmediagroup.net for more information.